fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Yeah, I settle down, check, yeah. Talk to me, baby, what's the word? I think it's stuck. Bitch, get out my way, I'm out today, the city up. I've been in my A, but out today, it's only us. Paranoid, did numbers on my trust, and if I must, check.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Target Talk. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Justin. I got Mike.
What up?
And as you heard, that is Hesitate from award-winning Pierce Washington, who we got in the building for a second time, man. How you feeling?
Welcome back. Welcome back,
I'm
man.
Good. It's good to be back, man. I'm feeling good. I think, like you said, the award show, award season was crazy. It was a good time, man. I think best part of that was performing in the Bomb Factory, like packed house, being able to look out and do an arrangement with the band, and they bring it to life the way they did. Like that was a moment. I had to take my glasses off up there and look out, like, and soak it in, and then leave. It was a good time.
That's dope, man. That's dope.
Yeah, the performance was good.
Killed
yeah,
it.
Killed it.
Appreciate it. Definitely killed it, man. I was up there like proud. You know? Yeah. I know that guy up there.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right in. You've been here before, so you know how we do around here, man.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that performance at the Dallas Entertainment Awards, man. You wanted to do that before. You mentioned that the last time you were here. Yeah. What did that moment mean for you? I know, like, looking out was a great feeling. How did that feel exactly?
Yeah. It was a little surreal. I had my parents in the crowd. That was a moment, right? They were up top, like, looking down at all these people and then me on the stage and my name and this and that. I had one of my best friends, Cam. He was my first manager.
Okay.
And
his first boss that he tried to, you know, book through with me, and she ran Axiom. She was there. She had moved away for a while, and she popped up. So it was one of the most full circle things ever because I got up there. I was nominated for quite a bit, and I had lost everything up until the performance. So at that point, like, I had conversations with Dana Harper in the back that, like, kind of made me look at things a little different, kind of made me feel like, you know, okay, you got to understand your why, you know what I'm saying? And really sit down and be in that, you know what I'm saying? And having conversations with her, I went on stage, did the performance, almost had a tear roll down my eye because I'm like, dude, like, this is... Forget any of the awards. This moment right here is why you came. Like, this is a moment to where you could be like, yo, you accomplished something. Mm-hmm. The crowd reaction, people being there with me. And like when I do the call and response, they are responding. And I feel that people up front with the cameras, like it was such a thing. And then when I stepped off, that's when they called Rakim Al-Jabbar. He had one song, hip hop song. And he stepped off and we had a conversation. He was like, man, and he like not he wasn't even talking about his award or anything. He was like, man, it ain't nothing like it, huh? Like the feeling when you step up. And we had that. And it was just such a validating thing. Like, this is the why, like what you just did here. And then they called me for EP of the year, like as we were having that conversation. So it was like, oh, damn, like this was perfect. Like the segue was so it taught me a lesson. You feel me? It taught me, yo, there's a reason for everything, but you're always going to be right where you need to be, right? Mm-hmm. As long as you're patient and you understand your why. You know? Yeah. So it was cool. Very cool moment. Very cool moment. Now, talking to everybody afterwards, that's when you feel the weight of how many people are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You just got off the stage and everybody's like, oh, my God. You But everybody. And it's like, oh, damn, this is. I got real burnt out real fast. So I did my best to kind of disappear into the back. But it was cool. It was a great moment for sure.
Yeah. Nah, like I said, man, that was dope to see, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats on the win, too.
EP, hey, man, for sure. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Man, we could have used like a little convo like that after we took our.
I'm saying, man.
Man. Because I mean, we know how you feel, man.
You know, it changed my perspective.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was like, man, it don't even matter.
Yeah.
And that was when, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie. I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Like, for the other ones, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
We get to take a Kendrick picture after this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just cradle them. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, it's not even about that. No, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah. I think it was cool to get those perspectives at that time, especially before getting on stage.
Yeah.
Like, you never want to take that energy like, I guess we're going to go perform now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never want to take that energy. So it was perfect timing that those conversations were had, for sure.
Yeah. How'd you handle, like, after? I know you said you were drained during the show. Like, it was pretty draining. Like,
man.
Like, how do you clock out after that, man?
I went home. I think I stopped and got like in and out or something.
Mm-hmm.
I went to sleep. I went to sleep.
Yeah.
And it was very calm. I put the award up next to the one from I put it there.
Mm-hmm.
I had all the certificates that said nominee and then put the winner one on top. Kind of put it in a folder and said, all right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Next. Well, what do we do next? You know? Because I think it's important to, like, when you have that moment where you get it, I know for me, a lot of times I'll wait until the moment is over to feel the weight of it. And that's why I say, like, when I was on that stage, I had to take my glasses off, look into the crowd. Take it, like, just breathe a little bit, because the band was going to go crazy for another 2 minutes. And I knew that, but nobody else did.
Yeah.
So it was like dramatic walk off. Like, that was the plan. And after, because I do this as we proceed to give you what you need, like at every show.
Mm-hmm.
And that time I did it loud, because I'm like, this is probably going to be the last time I incorporate this. So let's make it count. Band be with me. And they just charged up as I was charging up. And when it was over, I was like, this feels like the end of an era of performance for me.
Mm-hmm.
I took this type of energy that I had on that stage, like, to, I think, every stage in Deep Ellum. After that, the smaller Bomb Factory, Trees, Ruin, everything, Nas, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last one that I hadn't done. And it just felt like, like, this is the last Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
I looked out. I took the moment in. So when I stepped off, there was no more moment to feel. Like, I took it all in right there.
Yeah.
I feel
with Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. Car Guru's.
Like, people don't slow down enough to do that, you know, and I'm people, you know what I'm saying? So I've been working on that, and I think taking that time right there was dope.
Yeah.
So, sure, man.
I mean, well, going from Deep Ellum, man, you taking stage to South by Southwest. Man, like, how you feeling? How we feeling?
So planning this year is exhausting. I can't lie. It's exhausting. Cause it's so many things, and you realize that. Cause this will be my third official, in the past 3 years. Yeah, it'll be my third official. The first year, I got in by way of a competition. So shout out J Soldier, shout out the Smokeout, DJ Napalm, Kush with a C. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all of those guys, cause they got me on that stage. Shout out to 93 Kurt Lauder. Shout out to that man. Shout out to all of them for putting me on that stage, hearing me, selecting me, and I was official, and that gave me opportunities. I performed at the Porsche Showcase. I had like a little deal with Dickies for clothes, a little deal with Freebird's Burrito for food.
Okay.
Right? And that was cool. Like, that was cool. I was kind of like starstruck. And then last year, it just so wasn't the same. It was like, yo, we got a showcase. We got some money. That's it. Went, did the showcase, got the money, left. I was like, okay. But this year, it's South by reaching out. They're like, hey, okay, we have this. Well, what if we place you here? What do you have coming out? Here's the music. Oh, yeah, let's put you here. So this will be the first year I have and probably by the time this comes out, it'll be announced, but South by Southwest presents Piers Washington. So I'm on their presents showcase, which is like dope.
Yeah.
Like, that's another stratosphere, and I'm on there with solid names, like Cody Shane is on it. Like, it'll be really cool. You know what I'm saying? And a number of showcases, a number of appearances, sessions, this and that. Like, it feels like, oh, this is a business trip. Rather than you do your showcase and then you go enjoy it. I'm trying to put in time for enjoyment. Like, you know, we're going to try to go see showcases, and we're going to try to see Don Toliver is doing a concert out there. That'll be dope. He just dropped a crazy project, so it'll be cool seeing that live. But yeah, I think right now, getting all the stuff in order is like, you gotta take a breath. So the week of, excitement through the roof. Yeah. I'm gonna be so excited. But right now, I'm exhausted, grateful, and exhausted. So,
yeah.
Well, congrats.
Yeah, hey, man, congratulations, man. Congratulations.
That's really dope.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
I mean, like, since the last time you were on the show, you dropped the Folklore EP. Award winning Folklore EP. Yeah. Let me put some respect on it.
Yeah, come on, man.
my bad. Also, man, I mean, great project, by the way.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Also, you did a little Folklore tour as well, man.
Yeah, man. I did.
Like, what was that experience like? you had to share no hotels with no... With no strange men.
Yeah, man.
The last time,
The Folklore tour was hard.
Okay.
It was difficult. I'd say, because I worked in medical IT, medical software, right? The job, like, the company filed for bankruptcy on Monday before the tour. Everybody got let go. Like that. No one spoke on plans or nothing. It was just over. On Monday, I got tour on Thursday, and we are doing three back to back. I mean, Dallas, Austin, Chicago. Like, it was just, so I'm like, oh, damn, okay. Okay, let's pivot. Maybe this is like, you know what, you're gonna make this money on this tour. This is gonna that's not what happened. People showed up, it was beautiful. Dallas was beautiful. Austin, you know, you have your technical difficulties, but shout out Front Row Live, it was beautiful. You know, Chicago was beautiful. Shout out to Next Showcase in Chicago. Esther Calloway. Tweet. Shout out Tweet. She was the headliner of, like, we did a festival. She was the headliner there.
Okay.
And yeah, it was cool. And then we ended up where? New Orleans. New York. New York sold out, and that was the pick me up, right? Yeah, we went through all of that, and then New York showed out. It was beautiful. To the point where we looped back and went back to New York, and then so that was cool, you know. It was a good time. It was a good time. It was difficult though, like, because I'm here stressing about, okay, what's the next move monetarily? How do we handle this in the middle of tour where my energy has to be proper because I'm doing, you know, interviews, freestyles, and you know, talking to people and all of that. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, what we about to do? Yeah. Like, what's going on? I gotta go home and them bills gotta get paid. What was happening? So yeah, it was hard, but it was rewarding. I think it's the reason I'll be able to go back to those places. It's the reason I'll be able to spend a lot more time in New York. Shout out to New York, they show a lot of love. And Chicago, a lot of love. I was able to work with a few people out there, went to Classic K Studio. Cool people in there. So, yeah, it was dope.
The Sweet got new music out? Or was she performing like the classics? No idea. Okay.
She was performing them classics.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. I didn't know what she was
smoking
like.
Cigarettes, man. Okay. She getting down.
Yeah, okay.
They was feeling it. So, and then, right before she came on, they played the R. Kelly circuit.
Okay.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean.
But you got to know the crowd. Like, everybody came out for a tweet, they going to run the R. Kelly circuit. I was like.
Yeah. They going to step side to side.
I mean, they deep cut R. Kelly. Yeah. I mean, album cut.
Oh, right. Like, not even
you got it. I'm going to be on the side.
Yeah. Like, you ain't about to catch me.
There will be no canceling.
Yeah. Oh, that's Pierce.
I don't condone nothing that R. Kelly has ever done.
Yeah.
Illegally.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I believe I can fly. Ironically, I believe I can fly. Yeah. Ironically. Mm-hmm. They should not play that at any kindergarten graduation. They should stop that.
Yeah.
They should.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Step in the Name of Love at the wedding. It happens. Sadly, it is a classic, but we should not support R. Kelly and his endeavors.
Right.
Yep. I'll leave it there.
Exactly. All right. He don't get paid off his music anyway.
Look, PSA. Yeah. Right? PSA.
Man, well, you got South by Southwest coming up. You had the Folklore Tour, man. But you had the Entertainment Awards. But in December, you had arguably your biggest show, man. You stepped out for us. It's called us.
I love how he had no clue. Like,
what show are you talking about, bro?
You did step out for your guys, man.
We do appreciate that, man.
We do appreciate you, man.
Man, listen though. The thing about that though, I loved that show. I loved it because it was like. It's shows like this that remind you, right, how important it is to captivate your audience.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta grab them.
Yeah.
When you get to a certain point, especially like people that blow up real fast and gotta do their first show in front of a bunch of people, they don't have crowd control or they don't know how to get people engaged. They've never been in a situation where they really have to be like, hey, come on, scoot up, get over here. What are we doing? So, like, respect the mic or this and that, da, da, da. And I think it's cool once you learn how to not be so, like, pay attention to me and you just perform in a way that demands attention.
Yeah.
And I feel like that show was one where I really had to flex that muscle.
Yeah.
And it was so good. Like, it was cool because the people that engaged were all the way there.
Yeah.
Super engaged. And that's the most reassuring thing that an artist can have when they're performing live. So it was beautiful, man.
Nah, we definitely appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was our first foray into, you know.
Man, true.
We going to step it up again this year, you know.
Man, I know y'all got it.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nah, I mean, you definitely killed it.
Oh yeah,
hey, man, appreciate that.
I mean, as usual. I mean, I've seen you a few times before.
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate y'all having me for real. Cause, yeah, I love that.
We got you, bro.
Anytime, bro. Yeah. Anytime.
We locked
anytime,
in.
Anytime you. I mean, you South by Southwest official artist. So you know, anytime you feel like blessing us with a Pierce performance, let us know.
I got you. I don't know what's going on. I got you. Yeah.
All right, man. Let's jump into the new stuff. You got the Boudreaux LP dropping March 12th, man.
Yeah.
After sitting with it, it feels like a full body of work. What does that represent for you right now?
Mm-hmm. I feel like I think in full bodies of work. That's the only way I create. I'm not against the single. I just don't think that it encapsulates all of my thoughts. When I am trying to make a single, I make an EP. And when I'm trying to make an EP, I make an album. And so Burrow was like, it was like, I don't know. I was trying to make a jazz EP. 3-4 songs. Something quick. And it just happened in a time in my life where, like, this was after the Folklore tour. So I'm like, okay, like, what are we about to do? What was going on? And in a time of uncertainty, you got insaneness going on outside, family things, not really working and sitting with your thoughts, but then creating. It turned into this body of work. I could not stop writing towards it. I could not stop coming up with things that sounded like this world that I was creating. So it was really like 16 songs. We cut it down. But yeah, man, like it means a lot because it is an ode to figuring it out. It's an ode to family. My grandfather, right? Ode to him. The title track is about him. And it's like extreme detail. It goes into it, and just a relationship with love, a relationship with death, a relationship with like self-confidence, all of that, and legacy, right? So, yeah, it means a lot, especially in this climate, because like everybody wants to put out a bunch of singles, and they keep putting out singles until something hits, and it's almost like, well, we're waiting to do an album. So, you know, we're waiting for the audience to respect our art enough to give them an album or for that to be the demand. You do that long enough, you never figure out how to make an album. Mm-hmm. You know how many bad albums you got to make a good one? Yeah. And people are focusing on making the single when in reality, not many hits are coming from singles. You look at all of the hits that, I mean, they come from albums.
Yeah.
And that's because people that can make albums right now are truly like, it's becoming a lost art. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because like a full body of work is scary to a lot of creatives. But you gotta jump into it. You gotta surrender to that. You gotta give yourself to it. And I think this was me like fully surrendering and not giving a damn of, oh, maybe they're not going, it doesn't have a hit on it. Oh, wait, this is a jazz album. I'm pouring my heart out. It's a full body of work. It's cohesive. It goes together. One song flows into the next. Extremely proud of it. Like, and I think at a certain point, people will realize, like, those are the songs that move.
Yeah.
That's the work that moves. So, yeah.
I think you got a good point there. I think a lot of times when these artists, it's like, oh, new single dropping. and it doesn't even really move. Like it'll have a little like couple weeks, and then it just falls off.
It's nothing to eat.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yo, got a piece of gum coming out, and people been like starving. Uh-huh. Like, oh my god! Like, and that's why I respect J. Cole for the double album.
Yeah.
Especially if he's saying this is last. Now, the conversation on how the album is, I mean, whatever. Right? I love J. Cole.
Uh-huh.
I love J. Cole. But J. Cole is Tyler Perry to me.
Oh, hold on.
Okay. Okay.
PSA, people are not going to like it. People are not going to like it. This is a moment where you must separate Tyler Perry as a person. Because I'm not comparing J. Cole to Tyler Perry as people.
I feel like I know exactly where you're going with this. Yeah. Me and Justin just had a conversation about how I don't like Tyler Perry movies.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. See, and this is the thing, right?
Let's get into it, man.
Okay.
Come on.
So this is why I say this. Tyler Perry, right? He has a certain demographic.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out with a movie. You know exactly where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
It's comfort for a lot. And the people that love Tyler Perry movies, they love Tyler Perry movies.
Love it. Yeah.
And he know that. Right. Of course. Those same people will say that they love his plays even more. Mm-hmm. He was great at making plays.
Mm-hmm.
J. Cole. I don't know if y'all saw him talking about his albums, what he deems an album.
Yeah.
His mixtapes, people loved way more than his albums.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out with classic albums for his demographic. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. However, Tyler Perry is not winning an Oscar off of a Madea movie.
No.
It's not in the same creative category. Mm-hmm. It's not. It can't be.
Yep.
Because he's good at the thing that he's doing. It's not a multifaceted thing. He's good at it. Like, we know the artist, Taraji is in a 360 with him. You know, Michael E. Lee got, like, I don't know, 180 with him. You know, that is what it's going to be. Cool. Now, with J. Cole, we know we're going to get great raps and classic beats every time.
Mm-hmm.
Great raps and classic beats. And this album, great raps. Creative through line? Not really.
Nah.
But both of them are good and they understand their demographic. Mm-hmm. They preach, you know, they preach uplifting their community and da da da. However, right, Tyler Perry, when it comes to his community, all right. Having a monopoly on what uplifts the community is not really uplifting the community, right? You don't have any other writers. You don't. I mean, you have enough money to empower someone who is going to win an Oscar. Mm. He could have paid for Sinners by himself.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do that.
Yeah, right.
He's not as good. He's not as good, so he can't.
Yeah.
He would not, like, it had to be a Tyler Perry production.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Coogler, as a creative, and maybe as a sane person, was like, why would I do that? I'm saying, no, that limits it so much.
Yeah.
Now, J. Cole, right? Love him. However, I think that it lacked the creativity to show that he sits on that throne. Like, being great at rapping is great. Being great at energy is great, right? Playboi Carti has great energy. He is not a great rapper.
No.
At all.
Nah. And I don't even think he's
great energy. He doesn't have to be a great rapper.
Right.
He doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
The energy is there.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we ask him to do a lyrical miracle bar?
Yeah, no.
We wouldn't. Now, J. Cole, we know we're gonna get lyrical miracle.
Mm-hmm.
We know you're from Fayetteville. We know that you're considered one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you grew up poor. We know that your mother's white.
Right.
We know these things. And that's cool.
And he's going to tell us in the best way possible.
Album.
In the best way possible.
That's cool. And that's what I'm saying.
But like.
My thing is, every album is about, I'm from Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
It got sick out there. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the best rappers ever. Mm-hmm. I love hip hop. Mm-hmm. My elders, Nas and them. Yeah. And I'm cool with Kendrick and Dre. Yeah. And sometimes we have a conversation. Yeah. But I be rapping, and I bet y'all won't rap better than me.
They'll throw one in there like, right. I cheated on my girl once. Boom. But, you know,
cheated on her, but we in therapy.
We good now. Yeah.
You know, and then I'm so rich, man, my partners call me, and they talk about another one of my friends that died. Damn. Yeah. Times seven. All right, that's the next seven songs. And then you know what? Now that I think about it, I do got kids and I love being a dad. Mm-hmm. I'm wholesome. I'm J. Cole. That's my time. Thank you. For every album in a row. Yeah. And it's like, that's cool. I know all of this about you. I've heard this already. I don't need to hear it no more. Mm. Over a different beat. And a beat that I anticipated.
Yeah.
Man, get like what? Play the maracas or something. I want to hear something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I appreciate him, but in that way, he's exactly like Tyler Perry. I knew what I was gonna get. As soon as I pressed play, I was like, oh, trap song. Like, oh, they wild in the 2-6. Look at you. Yeah. Are they now? Okay. So you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to J. Cole, Tyler Perry, and Taraji P. Henson.
Shout out to them, man.
For sure.
I appreciate it. You might be the first person like on the microphone to compare like J. Cole. Like, but I love it, man. I love it.
I mean,
it.
You and put I it see, together with
it. It makes sense. It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a cult of people out there that's going to hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Two.
Are you telling me?
Two cults. You know, piss off two fan bases at the same time. But, you know.
I think 2026, we start having hard conversations.
Okay.
J. Cole fans need to face the music. Just the Drake fans just had to do it. They just had to do it. They faced music that they didn't. They're so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I enjoy Drake's music. I enjoy J. Cole's music. I enjoy Kendrick's music. But I am not above criticizing things that I love.
Yeah.
And y'all need to learn to do that. There would be much less beef because. In conclusion, right, J. Cole is Tyler Perry. I rest my case.
Case closed,
yeah.
Man.
Case closed, man. Crazy.
Back to Bud Row, man.
Yeah.
Like, where did that title come from?
My grandfather called me Bud Row, like, in passing, right? And it was funny because he was one of those, like, oh, what's up, Jack? You know, what's going on? What you say, Bud Rowe? What's going on? That was his jam.
Yeah.
And I knew that he was slightly talking shit. Like, that was, he was, what you say, Bud Rowe? Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, if I walk past him, like, oh, hey, buddy. Yeah. Look at you, hey, buddy. It's like, are you trying to come for my man right now? What's up?
Mm-hmm.
But, that was him. I mean, he was a heckler, man. Like, that was his jam. But it was all in love. Like, that's all he knew. You know what I'm saying? Was to poke the bear, and that's how he showed love. Mm-hmm. But, like, he was older, man. He came from a time where all they did was, like, work and fight. Like, that was he's from the country, man. So, yeah, that was his jam, but... As he got older, it was a term of endearment because he'd say it when, like, he was weak. And he, you know, it was cool. It was funny when I brought it up to my grandmother. She was like, I don't even know what that means. What is that?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I looked it up. Like, it was literally a term of endearment that they used or, like, I don't know, condescending. I don't know. It was something.
Mm-hmm.
But he called me that all the time. It was like, well, you know. And once I brought that up and realized, oh, he just called me that. Oh, that's special. Live. And I came up with the concept when I was sitting with, like, we was having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, he gave me my first jazz record, Ahmad Jamal. I think it was the quartet, their fourth volume. And that's where the cover comes from.
Okay.
He's listening to a headphone like, he's doing that. And he's... Picture a light blue background. So that's where it came from,
okay.
That record. So, yeah, everything extremely, extremely, extremely intentional.
Yeah.
Like, even the the stuff that we use, the camera, everything intentional. It's an ode to that. So
okay,
yeah.
So a lot of nods to that.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of nods to my grandfather, man. And it was dope to be able to do that. I had to burn a CD to play the instrumentals for my grandma.
Yeah.
She's trained in classical music, man. So she didn't always agree with jazz. It was too just out there doing anything.
Yeah. You know?
But it's like, well, I'm going to make you even more upset because I'm going to rap over it. How about that? Yeah. But yeah, nah, she likes the music, so it's cool.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, first, by the way, we got an early listen. Appreciate you. Thank you, man.
Yeah, that was great.
But like, as soon as you turn it on, I think like the live instrumentation stands out. Yeah. I mean, you say you went into it just wanting to make a jazz album. Was that so? That was just already off rip. Like you knew you wanted to do that.
Well, we started off with a different set of songs. It was really Hesitate sounded completely different, and For the Feel sounded way different. But that's what we started with. They were soul chops, and. It was Buddy Minnelli. Shout out to Buddy Minnelli. He's at University of Miami. Jazz prodigy. I don't want to get it wrong. This is like 19, 20.
Oh. Wow.
Damn beast. Okay. Are you kidding me? And on that intro, the opening stuff, Quincy Hinch, Canada. Also 20? 20?
Okay.
Crazy. Right? Luke McKenzie on drums, on everything. Just also young. Crazy. These guys are crazy. Too good. And we were picking up a little steam. It was really me and Luke. We kept talking, and he works with all these guys, and he was like, man, we keep, you know, making stuff. Like, we'll just throw some stuff your way. I'm on the phone with all of them, like, individually. And at one point, it was like, yo, the album's done. Like, I would tell them, like, yo, the album's done. I'd be like, what? You know, how do we put it all together? And it was really me and Luke on, what is the thing, Discord, on the session, like, just piecing it together. I'm like, yeah, because Southside Digital, we're having a conversation about the state of the WWE. Like... 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. He made that whole beat while we were talking. Wow. Fully engaged in conversation.
That's crazy, bro.
He was like, yeah, you need something that slap. And he was like, yeah, yeah, you know, Brock Lesnar's the Freaky Viking. Like, you know, that's crazy. Why is he back? Da, da, da. Right, like, right. Okay. And he's going hard. And he was like, yeah, I just sent it to you. I played. I said, oh, my God. Like, how did you catch this pocket?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are insanely genius, and I just feel like the pocket that we caught musically made it so easy for me to rap. And shout out to the feature, shout out Josh Simmons on Southside Digital, shout out to Wakai, man. I don't know if y'all are familiar. Wakai is like, he's crazy good. Josh Simmons, crazy good. Like, these guys are, and they both from Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Crazy good.
Yeah.
Man, there's some killers out there. They're solid.
Yeah.
So shout out to those guys, man. They really like have helped in this process to push my writing forward for real. Bouncing ideas off of each other and stuff. So yeah.
The features were minimal, but they delivered.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was my introduction to both of them.
But yeah. Absolutely, man. Those guys, if you dig through their catalog, they got some good ones.
Oh, yeah, I definitely.
Sure.
Checking it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, check them guys out, man. It's something.
Was it hard to find like pockets to rap on this? Like with these jazz instruments? I mean, that's kind of already a bag, but
it's like, give me the nastiest drum pocket you got. Let's do it. Cause I hate rapping on metronome.
Okay.
It's so boring. It's nasty. Like anytime I get a chord that sound weird and it goes at a nasty place, and it's like, oh, okay, I gotta all right, cool, we got it.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. And I think as we all work together, they realize that and they were like, oh, okay, this will be the thing. Like, let's do this. Yeah. So, yeah, I was talking to Luke about the pocket on the Artful Dodger joint with Wakai.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty pocket. Yeah. Nothing ever hits on the one or the four. Like, it never hits correctly. Mm-hmm. It's just around it. Mm-hmm. Bunch of drums around it, just sprinkled around. And it's like, oh, this is fire. You never know when it's supposed to hit, but the rap keeps you on time, so it never feels like anything is off. So yeah. Playing around, you got to use your vocal as percussion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I think even on, like even on Hesitate, like, I love the choice of the flow you did. Like,
yeah.
Like that was, yeah, that was an intentional choice. Like, you could have just,
it really was,
you know, rap with the metronome.
Yeah, because I was really rapping with maybe the bass line. Like, I wasn't rapping with the drum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to catch a pocket on an instrument. And maybe it was the sax. I really wanted to catch a pocket there. Cause that's the thing with jazz. You can go off and do your own thing. And as long as it eventually finds its way back home, it was great. Like, no one will be able to tell. So studying how to chop that up and then put a lyric over that is my favorite.
Yeah. Well, speaking of lyrics, man, on the title track,
you said,
I was questioning my God at a young age. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So what went into making that record?
So that one, I want to say Dark Room, like recording that Dark Room. I wrote the whole thing in maybe like 30 minutes. It was easy to write. It was initially like, song probably would have been like 5 minutes, 6 minutes, that part, not the like first little section, but that part. Yeah. Real heavy lyrics, and they touch on like all types of stuff. So like, questioning God at the age of 10, right? That's when I lost my other grandfather at 10. I think that was the first time I was like, oh, like God, like questioning my root and like, oh, God does everything for a reason.
Right.
And when you can't find a reason at 10, it's like, well, what? Like, why was that a reason, you know? So that was the questioning. And then I guess that kind of speaks on like my ever-present relationship with God, life, death, and love. Like, I do believe that those things get placed there for a reason, right? You just don't see it until you have a personal relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? I feel like when I was young, I had no choice but to have connection through a mediator, whether that was my parents, whether that was a pastor, whether that was, you know, they taught me how to speak. But once you wipe out the middleman and you have a connection that you can depend on more so than the middleman, it's like, okay, now death means something different. Mm-hmm. Now life means something different. Now love means something different, like all of that. So, yeah, like I was speaking on that a bunch. Yes, a lot. It's a lot interweaved. Like, the emotion is there. And even from a mixing standpoint, mm-hmm. like, I didn't even, like, that's raw recording. Like, I didn't even want to touch it because I wanted it to be felt in that way. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And like, as that song progresses, mm-hmm. I notice, like, the drums kind of pick up. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like anxiety kind of picking up at the same
time.
Like, was that intentional?
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted it to feel the way I would feel when I listen to it back. When I listen to it back, what I'm hearing is a story of me at a young age trying to figure out death. And then I go through the pinnacle moments in life where death was introduced, right? Like being in a life or death situation. And then life with having a child, like there's a life situation and then death of a family member, death of a close friend, near death, at the end, like right when you're getting at that regret that you feel if you didn't say everything you want, like it goes through the timeline of my relationship with life, death. And it's getting louder until it comes to a stop. And when it comes to that halt and I say, like, I'm sorry, like at the end of that, then there's a voicemail from my grandfather. And it was from a missed call, like earlier that, like this is probably, if not late 2024, early 2025, where he's there just calling, trying to check in. He's like, man, I hadn't been able to get a hold of you. Like, what's up? But I just said, like, damn, I did not call enough. I didn't answer that call. I was making these promises on like coming through to visit and I didn't, because it's like, oh, you got time. And it's all of that. And then it's quiet and my anxiety starts there because you hear the reminder that you don't have time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's always been like a difficult listen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that's one that I probably won't perform. Yeah. For a long time, yeah, but definitely not off rip.
Yeah,
right.
So yeah. That one is definitely meant to be felt, though.
Yeah, you know yeah.
What I'm I hope it is felt. You know?
Nah, I definitely felt
it. Definitely felt that, man.
Yeah. Like, how's that feel? Like getting that off and kind of releasing that into the world.
It felt good to release it, like at least release it out of my brain. In the best way I knew how. Mm-hmm. As far as the consumption of it, like when it comes to everybody hearing it and this and that, if it does something for somebody, if it gives words to things that people haven't been able to express, then it did its job. Mm-hmm. And that's all I could ask for, you know? So, yeah. Feels good, and I hope it does its job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going to the opening song, Hesitate, Man. You know, it's tough. That one stood out, obviously, right away for us. What made that one be the one you wanted to start with?
Hesitate or The Awakening? Like the first song? Or?
Oh, yeah, it is The Awakening.
Yeah, no, I got you. It was, I don't know, I think that one, I think I wrote while I was in New York. Mm-hmm. I wrote that in New York. And that was literally me writing how I felt right then. Like, okay, we're at this crossroad. I feel like I have done this corporate job. This point. But I've also bet on myself. I bet on my talent. I bet on my voice. I've bet my check. I've bet everything. Yeah. And still not taking off in the way that is fruitful or as fruitful as the corporate job. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How do I continue with that? I think that's a great starting point. Because it sets the tone of like, okay, if anything, this album is gonna like be real commentary, because a lot of artists are in that same spot. Like, okay, I hate my job. If I could do music all day, I would, but I can't because I gotta pay these bills. And well, how do I do that? And you know, everybody speaks on, you know, you gotta bet everything. You gotta just let everything go and bet everything. And doing that, I understand why people say that. Do you have to bet everything? You got to bet 90%, for sure.
Right.
But that 10%, make sure you're doing something to make some money. Bet 90% because you need the time, you need the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a 9-to-5 and coming back and trying to record or trying to make an album, it's difficult. You got life, you got family stuff, you got this and that. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just can't. Mm-hmm. You just can't. And that's the part that limits a lot of people if they want it to happen quickly. Mm-hmm. because it takes a lot of work, a lot of work. So the opening is me like weighing out what's the pros and the cons of this work. Like what is going to happen if I do put in this work? Is it worth it?
Right.
And at the end, it's like, well, yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. You know, so it starts there because I think that's where the journey of my thought process, like in general, at that very moment was. So it's cool. It starts a different way of thinking.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Back to Hesitate, man.
Yeah,
you just dropped that as a single.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I read the question wrong, man. That's all. You dropped that.
What made you feel like that was the one off the album?
It was the first song I made on the album.
Okay.
I made it because I wanted Butterow to be jazz inspired, but damn near trap.
Yeah.
Let's do a jazzy trap album.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy Minnelli, I found that in like this large collection of like jazz beats that he had. And I was like, maybe I can add another verse and then add some middle ground and some melodies. I just went all the way with it. And then Luke went through a drum pack of his and put drums on top of Buddy's drums at the end. Mm-hmm. So now we got two drum sets going, and then we add like this extra section. I say it's the second most like militant jazz thing, right? So I think that was a great preview for the rest of it because the flow is very like this could go in a trap beat. This could go to something else. But the music is extremely like, this is jazz. You know what I'm saying? So I love that.
For sure.
Well, with all the tracks that you got on the project,
yeah.
Which one's your favorite?
My favorite one has to be Smoke Intermission.
Okay.
It was fun to make. It was fun to make. It was really, really fast. And that was my favorite, man. I think it just flowed easier than everything else. That or Artful Dodger, just because I'm like, man, we was on there rapping. I love like to be able to catch a super weird pocket and we're just rapping. So that was, yeah. So those two, that little transition, I love those.
What did you have it might be the same answer, but what did you have the most fun, like, the process of making the song? What song was?
I'd say the most fun I had making one was probably Southside Digital.
Because
it was just, it's fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be really interesting because I'm going to wait 2 weeks to put the lyrics out. It's funny because Josh, who's on there, he thought at the time of recording that I said I put the Rolls on digital, like a Rolls Royce with a digital screen.
Uh-huh.
No, that's the road, like a Rhodes piano digitally on the song. Like it literally the Rhodes is on digital.
Yeah.
And he went in that direction, like all through, like Double R General. Like hey, that was his. That was his thing, and I was like, that is so live. Like, that slight thing took his verse in a completely different direction, and I think that's why it works. Like,
yeah.
Because I think in that situation, if his mind goes to Rolls Royce, rap about a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
If mine goes to the digital piano, go to digital piano. Like, I think that's perfect because when you hear it back, it sounds like we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's live, I think. That's and it was completely on accident. I said, that is fire, dude. Like, I love that. So, yeah. That was probably the most fun.
That's fire. Yeah. I need to, like, put that together.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Like, he, just a misunderstanding.
He yeah, just out, one.
But
yep.
like, he killed it at the same
time. It's fire, yeah. yeah. Like, the direction he went in, I was like, absolutely. That's what it needed.
Unintentional double entendre.
Absolutely. fire. Yeah. yeah.
So you say you plan on putting the lyrics out for
yeah,
like the whole project?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I do a thing now. Well, since Folklore, I've had to send my lyrics into Genius, like into a rep.
Okay.
At Genius, so then they put it out, and what happens is the marketing company takes the lyrics from there, and then they put them on streaming services. Mm-hmm. Just because of how my distribution is set up. So it's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. I just tell them when to do it. And it's like they put it in every place they can. But like with Folklore, Genius guessed. And because they guessed, they got it wrong. And then when you look at the lyrics like on Apple, it's like a bunch of, I'm like, I did not say that. I don't know what. Yeah. That's crazy. So I didn't even understand that pipeline until they explained it to me after the fact.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I had to be on top of that early. So yeah, like 2 weeks after the project drops, we'll put the lyrics out, and that'll be cool. Yeah. I can't wait for people to like read along. Like,
mm-hmm. cool. Are you gonna go in there and annotate your lyrics as well? Like, no, you just gone. Oh, okay,
leave them.
Uh-huh.
I love that. Yeah. Like, Folklore. Oh, I got some hate mail.
Oh, for real?
It was one young lady. She's a feminist. And she heard Biloxi, mm-hmm. and her take on Biloxi was, I was a part of the patriarchy. I don't respect women. I have mommy issues. Like, she went on a tangent. She told me up for 20 minutes.
What'd you say on there? It could have got interpreted like that.
That's crazy.
No, she annotated. Like, oh, she took the time to, like, this is what you said, that, blah, 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 and went crazy. I mean, like, 5 pages.
Whew.
My immediate response was, thank you. You hated this so much that you took the time to analyze lyrics that were written wrong,
mm-hmm.
and tell me who I am.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because people that love it don't put that much energy into
right.
it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful that I said something on a track that moved you. She did not like that response. Mm-hmm. However, she didn't like that response. But that was my genuine response. And then I sat and I talked with her. Like, hey, like right here, you got to understand I'm not talking about the same person all the way through. It's mm-hmm. a different recounts. And this is like, actually, the song is not even about a woman from Biloxi. She's from Louisiana. How about that? Right? Like, let's talk about it. Let's do it. And afterwards, after everyone, you know, put the guns down,
mm-hmm.
it was cool. But if I go out and annotate and tell people what it means, like, often, that moment doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
So now she's listened to the whole thing, and now she likes it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so now she's cool.
Now you got a fan.
You, like, say, you call, like, she talked to her on the phone or something like
yeah.
that? Okay. Yeah. Wow.
This was crazy. Like, from TikTok.
Yeah, wow.
Had the squash to be.
It was yeah. dope. I yeah. told her I wanted to do, like, a full-blown interview and film it and everything. I thought yeah. it was going to be so cool.
Yeah.
And after we had the initial conversation, she was like,
yeah.
It's going to make me look bad. I'm like, no, I get it, but I just feel like yeah. we should have just done that off-rip.
yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's cool. Maybe something on Bud Road, like, does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it does, amazing. Reach out to me. We will talk about the patriarchy. I promise you I'm on your side. I promise you I'm on your side. So, yeah, like, that was cool, though. But I think those moments are perfect.
Yeah.
Putting that much energy into a song. More energy than I put into it.
It's a lot. Not real.
I feel that. Like,
yeah. You did write 5 pages for that song. So.
Thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah. yeah. That's dope, man.
Absolutely.
Wow, man. So with everything that you got going on right now, which you got a lot, sounds like it's going to be a busy year for you.
Yeah.
What's your main focus as of right now? Or just in general?
all of it. I think that I'm in a position to where taking my foot off the gas is not an option. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of opportunities, and to go where I want to go, I have to knock all of them out the park. And with that, I have to believe that I'm going to knock all of them out the park. Mm-hmm. But I also have to believe that the ones that need to be there will remain there, while the ones that don't need to be there will fall out of place and be okay with that. Because like my main goal is the music, right? And I feel like I am in relationship with music, right? And I had, let's say music is a woman, right? We'll say it's a her, right? I have to treat her with respect. I have to pour my all into her. And I can't be like, yo, you better get out there, like, put on this thing that I, you know, that I think people are like. People think you look good in this. Now get out there and make me some money. Whoa. I can't, like, what kind of relationship is that? An abusive one. I can't, because she has an energy as well. And when she's disrespected or not handled with care, she'll wait, sit stubbornly. So I think once I realized, like, man, I got to handle this with care, really. And if I truly love this thing and I truly want to give my all to this thing, I want anything to come back from this, I have to give my all, and it'll give its all back, yeah. You know? And genuinely, that, like, and that's more than just working hard all day. Mm. I can sit up and work hard on making 5 Drake albums and then a bunch of singles, right? And waterfall them, all the methods, do it all. Mm. But if that's not me, I just made a bunch of music, made a bunch of videos, made a bunch of rollouts for what? So people would like it? You gotta be true and find your voice and what it sounds like. And I think that's what this is. So yeah, I think to answer your question, like, that's my main, taking care of her, right? Yeah. And she'll take care of me. Right. So with that, I have to listen when I'm moved in directions like South by Southwest, like I said, is gonna be as business. I would love to have fun. Fun is cool. I can't, right? Like, it's too much. Like, we gotta do it. Cause right after South by, come back, New York for the first like actual show for Butterow. Like, doing it all the way through with a band. That goes well. We get the residency. We in New York for a while. Come back, we're at the Nasher in Dallas. That's going to be the first Dallas Butterow show. And it just moves. We're already in May. Like, and that's straight from South by. Yeah. This was planned 2 months ago, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing. Like, it's handling it, planning for the next, and going and going and going and going. So, yeah. Taking care of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful answer.
I like how you managed to answer his question and also prove you're not part of the patriarchy at the same time. Like, you,
that's facts.
You really wrapped it all together. Like, like, this is a true artist, you know. Like, like, we talking about people good with their words, man. Like, Pierce Washington.
Pierce Washington's good with his words.
Oh, man, that is
take
too funny.
Take care of her, man.
Take care of her, man. Please.
Hey, if you ever need to, just cut this part up and just send it to people. Say, listen, man, you know.
Like, this is proof right here.
Boom. Boom. Yeah, man.
What do you feel like you've been getting better at recently?
I feel like I have been getting better at being. Just being.
Yeah.
Not letting the extremely high highs get me too high, and not letting the extremely low lows get me too low. Taking things for face value, right? I think is a part of that. And then enjoying the moments. And that's something that in this like portion of my journey, you must be able to do, because stuff will fall. Like, great opportunity. Like, it'll be there, and it's like, oh, we got it. It's here. Mm-hmm. one thing out of your control to go wrong and it's gone. You know what I'm saying? Even with South By. And like, there was a company, not going to say the company. You know who you are. They were having like, they had an idea for this thing and like, hey, we got budget, we got this, we got that. Let's do it. Like, and it's going to be cool and you could come to the conference. With, it sounded so good. Like, I'm telling the team, like, we got a crazy one. When this drops, like, ah. And then the sponsor that was interested in me pulled out because they didn't like the company. Mm-hmm. And the company had to reach out to me and said, we're going in a different direction. And I was like, well, we have, like, what the hell? We got a contract. What do you mean? Like, we were planning around and... Then I decided to be like, okay, maybe it just wasn't, that wasn't meant. And then boom, another opportunity comes. And that's when South by Southwest presents. Very next day, get an email like, hey, got you. We don't got a bunch of details yet, but we want you. And it's like, got you, thanks. And it's when you genuinely take that time to just be and like, ah, okay, that happened. It's not supposed to be here. Cool, we move forward with what we have. And then you're rewarded more because you let it go without malice or any anger or like extreme disappointment or sitting in that. Like, you let it go because it is what it is. Like, you must move forward if that's what you want to do. Yeah. So it was just crazy that when I stopped relishing in that, just like I was saying with the awards, as soon as I stopped relishing in it, it became a super enjoyable night for me. Extremely enjoyable. Like, it was beautiful. And as soon as I started letting go of, like, opportunities that were not in the path, they sounded good. And them getting offered was just confirmation that you can get things like this. Yeah. But something better is on the way. You know, I have to have faith in that, right? So, yeah, I think I've gotten a lot better in that part of it, and that's made it way less stressful. Yeah. Because I feel like if I'm sitting up stressing, like, oh, my God, we just dropped that. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Something else. That's what we're going to do. It's fine. Let it go. Yeah. So, boom, you know? So, yeah, I think that. Yeah.
That's good, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the album, Budrow, dropping March 12th.
March 12th.
They're going to be available everywhere?
Everywhere. Budrow, available March 12th. I will be performing it March 12th at South By, 8 p.m. Can't say the sponsor yet, but at someone's patio, a patio in Austin. Swan Dive Patio, 8 o'clock. Nice. Me, Cam, Cure for Paranoia is gonna be on that show as well. Shout out to them. They are killing it right now. Yeah. I mean, killing it right now. Love to them. Those are good guys, man. So, yeah. Check us out. Check them out. We gonna be on the same showcase opening day, Budrow with full band. Shout out to On Point. Shout out to Small Town. Yeah, we gonna do the damn thing. It's gonna be a good time. Yeah.
Shout out to you, man.
Man, appreciate it. Shout out to y'all.
That's appreciate it. You, man. Well, I mean, again, you know, if they don't know where to follow you by now, you know, where can the people find you?
Find me mostly on Instagram at Pierce Washington without the O, but like, type that in, that's what's gonna pop up anyway. Yeah. I'm getting on TikTok. Okay. I'm on there more now. Find me, right? I might start talking. I don't know. TikTok, same thing. YouTube Shorts on there too. Same thing. Nice. That's it. I think maybe Twitter, X, whatever.
we call it Twitter.
The bird, right? The bird. Follow me if you want. I'll be talking to myself on there, man. I'll be nerding out on there. making comments about wrestling and chord progressions and shit like that. So, hey, find me everywhere, there right? But most importantly, find me on your streaming services, your favorite one. So.
Yeah, for sure. Stay tuned, man. Boudreaux is coming out March 12th. One more time, we got to just shout it out.
Man.
Great
stream
album.
Stream it. Stream preferably it. Buy it, you know.
Man, buy it.
buy it for sure.
That pre-release is coming out soon.
Okay.
Buy that. Buy that. I'm making it cheap. Very cheap. Pre-release only. But when the album comes out, full price. But pre-order? Cheap.
Okay.
Get it.
Okay.
I mean, $5. Way. Get it. Go crazy.
You're going to spend $5 on something way worse.
$5.
Might as well spend $5 on a great album.
That's all I'm saying. Don't put that food in your body. It's processed. $5.
Don't buy that coffee, man. Come what on. You doing?
From Starbucks in this climate? Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Okay? Get Boudreaux. It's healthy for you.
Right. That's music for your soul, man.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, once again, we appreciate you coming by, man.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
Through, man. I appreciate y'all.
Always. Always.
No, you're welcome anytime, man.
Anytime.
Absolutely, bro. I appreciate y'all and this platform. You feel me? Thank y'all for this. Y'all been putting on bangers and interviews. I saw, what was it? Was it potato salad? Was it
coleslaw? Man.
Coleslaw.
Coleslaw. We have
shout out for this.
Yeah. 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 For this, man.
The coleslaw question.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Shout out to Nojo.
Yeah.
Nojo got us going crazy. Nojo.
That went crazy.
To this day, we still
shout out my boy, man. Because I like absolutely Justin Bieber and Keisha got like
you can hear
for
it. That's
sure.
The crazy part. Yeah.
You hear it easily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's such a, like, you close your eyes and like, oh, damn. Like,
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
So shut up, man. And that's just Nojo, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He thinks on a different
plane. Yeah.
And that's why he's so good at rapping.
Yeah.
He's so good at rapping. Yeah. He thinks on a
it
different
ties
plane.
Together for
yeah.
Sure.
I can't think of half of the bars that he put together.
Yeah, facts.
His brain just worked different. Like, he got it.
Yeah.
But that's my dog, man. But yeah, I appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah. Likewise. But until next time, guys, we out. Peace.